Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Immediately out of it. You haven't had deep runs in the postseason. I was there last year.
Sure.
It was Orange County, whoever that. No. Who was it that?
Was it Louisville?
It was Louisville. At you with your 901 FC memory.
Match.
But that was the point. You didn't have the deep run to go with it. But I do think they were taking off in a way where they hadn't built themselves a nice little niche with the fans here. You know, you'd see them coming down the streets of downtown to go in there before COVID hit and kind of took a lot of the momentum out of it. And then with the Redbirds, it just feels like the newness of it wore off.
Yep.
You'd have a couple of they won the championship that one year, helped a little bit, but as the years have gone on, it's worn off. And again, you're not trying to prove to Major League Baseball that you can get a Major League Baseball team. There's not that component to your support and attendance.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just kind of faded away. I hope it gets better for the Redbirds because I've always thought that's a gem of a thing to be able to do in downtown.
By the
Memphis,
way, I agree
go
with
down
that.
There
and I wasn't
and
trying
watch
to
a game,
be
but I realize it's hard to run that
it's
thing
just
too.
Hard.
When you look around, you got a few folks that are feeling like me.
Yeah,
yes,
it's
a good
hard.
Fewer people are taking that option each year,
right?
As the newness of that stadium is worn off and everything else, and so it's tough. I don't envy the folks again in the front offices of the Showboats, the Redbirds as well. That's a tough gig now, and I think it was only made tougher once this city transitioned over to true pro team, true pro city, and that's what it is now. You don't have to, if there's not extra incentive, if there's not a lot of winning going on, we're probably not gonna be there. So we will talk here in this third hour. Brad mentioned it to the great Joe Theismann, who is. Has earned the Distinguished Citizen Award from the AutoZone Liberty Bowl and will be receiving that this weekend. We'll talk to him about the award and certainly getting it, but also about the NFL. What's coming up? I wonder if Joe will be watching Hard Knocks. My guess is he don't watch Hard Knocks anymore. He's probably seen so many of them, but I do wonder if he's interested in my Bears situation. We will ask him about his situation with the Commander, certainly the team that he once coached to a Super Bowl, once quarterbacked to a Super Bowl victory. We'll talk to him about Jaden Daniels, what's going on with the Commanders, how he sees that turning on, and all the young quarterbacks in the league. We'll do all that here third hour, and we got to talk about when we get back. It looks like Penny Hardaway's fishing. Looks like he wants to try to land a big fish in the wake of the news that you lose David Jones to the NBA. We'll talk about that and sort of what the approach should be. Do we like who he's after? Can he land one of them? We'll talk about all that when we get back. You're listening to Jason John, 929 FM ESPN. Love singing their praises. They've spread their business. They've grown their business, is a better word. 70,000 plus members already in West Tennessee, but they're looking for more. And they've grown their business into Memphis. They've got the brick and mortar branch in Bartlett now. They've broken ground on the new one in Arlington. More coming soon in terms of those brick and mortar branches. That's how sure they are. That they're where they want to be here in Memphis, Tennessee. And they want your business. They want to do more for you than what your current bank or credit union. because we do have those currently in Memphis as well, others. They're not doing anything for you, you know, in terms of the rates that they're offering for, to you. Leaders is pretty sure they can offer you some better ones. You want to launch your savings? How about a 4+ high yield savings account from Leaders? No minimums, balance tiers, or restrictions to keep you from growing that money. Nothing's going to stand in your way. Especially when you got 4.25% APY on that money. You can open up an account by visiting leaderscu.com/ESPN special page just for our listeners. Again, use that ESPN promo code and they'll waive the membership fee. That's whether you're at the brick and mortar branch or online. Make sure you're doing that. Again, they're serious about being here in Memphis, as evidenced by the fact that they're one of the presenting sponsors this year for the Shelby County Pro-Am League, which will be getting started here in a second this summer. And they're going to be unveiling their Ball into the Bank Youth Financial Literacy Program, which is awesome for the young folks at Memphis. Going to make you smarter about your money earlier. Stay tuned for details on that. See how serious Leaders is about being your credit union, about helping you. They're federally insured by NCUA. Again, check out their webpage at leadercu.com/ESPN. All right, before we get to Joe Theismann, real quick, we saw a sort of flurry of tweets yesterday from a man that we don't know a lot about. I continue to find him to be a mystery. I spoke a little bit about it with Jeff Calkins this morning on Jeff's show. But Hitman Hoops, a man that...
He's out there.
Whose face we don't really know.
Oh, he's like an we don't know who the person is?
No, he doesn't have his face on as his avatar. And
do you know who it is?
You know, he's not here like... No, I don't, but I know people who do.
Okay.
Okay, I know people...
He has an alias Brad Carson.
I know people that have talked to him.
Mm. Oh, they've spoken
so
to
the person.
So I
know people that know him.
Oh.
But I have never met him.
Is he a celebrity?
No, I don't think he's a celebrity.
He's a reporter and a digger.
Well, we've had to sort of come to the realization that he is an in-the-know person when it comes to Tigers basketball.
He is Hitman.
Because his information has been good, including, I think, when Musa Cisse committed to Memphis. But he's been on it for a while now. As a former Tiger basketball beat writer like Jason Munns is over the Commercial Appeal, obviously, and doing a fantastic job over there. I never had to compete with someone I couldn't see.
Oh, yeah, that's different, isn't
it?
Well, now the Internet has created these opportunities.
And whether, Munns knows them or not, you are competing because this guy is breaking news when it comes to who Penny Hardaway's after, what he's doing, that as a beat writer you have to pay attention to. Mm. And so it's kind of almost one of 30 for 30 on
like the masked man.
Who this Hitman Hoops is that keeps dropping all this Tiger basketball knowledge. All that said, it does seem to be good just about every time, knowledge. He says that Memphis Hitman Hoops again yesterday on Twitter. We didn't get to it on our show. He had already tweeted, but in the wake of the David Jones news and the surprise really to the Memphis basketball program that David Jones is keeping his name in the NBA draft. Memphis, according to Hitman Hoops, is pursuing Florida State transfer wing.
Okay,
Jameer Watkins. He's 6'7", averaged 15.6 points, 6 rebounds, 34%. Shooter from three last season, and as Hitman Hoops points out too, defensively was impactful. Averaged 2.7 steals and blocks per game combined.
Oh.
So a little bit more active. Now David Jones could get you some steals, but in terms of blocks, he wasn't that. And especially now that we know David Jones was much smaller than we thought as well. Yeah. He's a 5-star transfer, according to Evan Maya. And so St. John's is also in pursuit, and as Hitman puts it, I mean, you're coming in late here, to try to get involved, having now, having to scramble a little bit. Not that Penny doesn't have the resources or all that money that was earmarked for David Jones, but you're playing catch-up to these schools that have been already recruiting these guys. Another wing, and I think, there's a pattern here, obviously, that tells us something. Memphis is also involved, according to Hitman Hoops, with Kansas State 6'7 wing Arthur Kaluma. Kaluma, 14.4 points. He's 6'7 as well. 7 rebounds, 35% from 3-point range. So a little bit better than Watkins was from 3, and that was on 4.5 attempts per game last season. He also is rated a 5-star transfer by Evan. And so in that, and Mark and I were discussing this yesterday on his show, we talked about it a little bit here too, Brent. What Penny's plan should be now.
Mm-hmm.
That David Jones is gone. Do you try to go get it, to put it, like we did earlier, a big fish to go replace the production? with what's left out there now, you know you're going to pay a premium for it.
Yes.
Because of the time of year that it is and how you basically there's less inventory now mm-hmm. of these guys in the transfer portal, and especially high-level guys like these two, Kaluma and Watkins. So you know you're going to pay more for it. Mm-hmm. You're late to the party, obviously, because you thought you were going to have David Jones. So, as you know, there is no guarantee that Penny will be getting either of Jameer Watkins or Kaluma. But what it does show you is that clearly Penny Hardaway believes he needs to replace some of that production. This isn't a deal where, as I had laid out a scenario yesterday with Mark, where you play it careful. You prioritize fit and roles over replacing David Jones or trying to replace David Jones' production all with one guy. Clearly, Penny and who he's reached out to is telling us something here.
Yes.
No, he believes he needs to get another guy,
yeah.
not just wing depth, but a guy that can come in, because clearly these two at their previous schools had been the guy, a guy that can come in and be one of the guys up top. I'm a little leery of that. I'm going to be honest with you. Because, again, you already don't have an established pecking order, and you have less of one because you don't know who's going to be 1A now, like David Jones would have been, and then you would have been figuring everything out after him.
Yeah.
If you get Jameer Watkins or you get Arthur Kaluma, are they then the number one priority on offense? Does Tyrese Hunter and P.J. Haggerty, do they all slide down? I mean, you're bringing an unknown, one that you're going to give a pretty important role to, it sounds like, into a situation where you may already have enough.
Yeah.
They very well may not, but here's the case. Penny might have enough right now in terms of at the top, those scores. And so going out and getting one that you're late to the party on, right, that's going to be, you're going to have to pay a high price for, you just wonder, is it the right step? Clearly, Penny is telling us that he thinks it is, that he thinks he needs this guy. He is also, and I'm going to get to your thoughts on that, Brad, just real quick to knock this out.
No, it's good.
He's also involved with a guy we know well, Trayvon Brazil, who we saw at Arkansas last season, 6'10 forward, different type of player.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big that would obviously add depth to the front court. So he's, according to Hitman Hoops, you've reached out to two pretty high-profile wings at this point and one big. I think clearly what he's telling us is he wants another wing.
Right.
And we'd said he's light there, but you're going after a big one.
Yep.
And he wants another big to go with Dane Danger, Musa Cisse, Tyreek Smith. And if you guys want to include Jordan still as a big, which we probably should, we will, although Penny has told us he plans to play Jordan more at the wing this year. I'm seeing with these three scholarships, he's trying to get two different types of players with the three, another big in Brazil, and then one of these wings to help replace David Jones' production.
I enjoy this. I really enjoyed that piece from you because the Watkins conversation is really interesting, and the where do we go from David Jones thing is like one of the biggest conversations right now in our market.
And he's telling us what he plans to do by who he's reaching out to or what he hopes to do.
Let's talk about David real quick, and then I want to make a point about the players you brought up for the slot. The first thing is, we should have known that David Jones is probably not coming back to college when he dedicated his effort to return just to Memphis. What I mean by that is, and I'm not saying he was trying to leverage Memphis, because clearly he wasn't. Otherwise, you'd have put yourself in the transfer portal. But, and I tweeted this when the transfer portal window was closing two nights ago. It is impressive from a business perspective. If you're Trayvon Brazil and you played for a crappy Arkansas team and you're clearly not returning probably to play for Cal, or you didn't like your NIL deal, or if you're talking about a couple other players I'm about to bring up to you for this slot, that now you can say, not only did I have a bad combine and I'm not going to the NBA draft, but I'm also in the transfer portal, and now my value goes from whatever I was making at school A, because I'm an NBA prospect in theory,
mm-hmm.
to what's my value now and where am I going? So it's like a secondary market. And then the second point I would make on the player that Memphis should get, they should go get this Coleman Hawkins. And I've seen a lot of Coleman Hawkins.
Now, they're talking about $2 million for him.
I'd pay him if you could afford it. And Memphis seemingly could probably figure out how to pay the kid. I don't know if it's $2 million.
Exactly. That's like double, it sounds like.
He's friggin' awesome.
What you were going
to
give
if
David.
If you get Coleman Hawkins, and here's why. He could play next to the Haggerty. He could play by Haggerty. He's 6'10". He shoots like the lights off the ball. And you could be a bigs-oriented team.
Well, he's Brazil on steroids.
Like yes.
You would dust Brazil.
I would not
push
go with
to
Brazil.
To get Coleman Hawkins.
To me, Brazil played on a bad team, and I just don't like it.
I I don't. I mean, that's a lot of money to get involved with Coleman Hawkins because that bidding process.
I would
like
go to my boosters and to my FedEx fund, and I'd say we're going all in.
I know what you're saying, and you know him well.
Everybody in this market talks about going to the Sweet 16. That guy gets you to the Sweet 16. And that's the bottom line. Pay for what you know versus what you don't know. And we know exactly what that dude is.
Yeah, I don't know whether Memphis has got it at this point. Again, you had, I'm guessing, somewhere
you
between 500,000 to a million for David Jones. You're talking about possibly doubling up to go get a guy that could leave you at a point where you can't, because you spend, let's just go with your scenario.
Right, yeah.
Because I'm not saying it's far-fetched at all. I'm just saying if you spend $2 million on him, 1.5, yeah, then what do you have left for depth on the wing, for another wing player, which you clearly need? It could leave you without anything.
Yeah.
Remember, you've spent some already.
I know you
on
have.
The seven that
sure.
you've got.
Haggerty is one of them.
No question. And it's seven guys out of the transfer portal, so I don't think there's an unlimited amount of money there. That's not saying that I don't think Memphis has got pretty good resources right now with the collective and everything else they've got going for him. Penny Hardaway seems to be able to get who he wants.
He's just so good.
Coleman Hawkins is awesome.
Oh my God.
And some have argued he should have went ahead and stayed in. Like, he's
probably should have.
But because he can come down now and be – it's a bidding war for him.
Yeah.
Like you just said, the value for him went up through
Jason.
The roof because he was so good. I want to tell you, he was like the MVP of one of the games
yes.
up there. One of the combine games. That's how good
he's
was.
He's unbelievable.
So you come back down to the college level.
And I've
level,
watched
to your
a lot
point,
of him because of the Illinois connection.
And you are now worth a lot more.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he has I would imagine, yes, next year's draft is better. It's supposed to be, at least from the analysts. That's what they say. But Coleman Hawkins is going to be in because of the wingspan.
Not swiping at Memphis, but if Washington's able to pay a $2 million kid, it would be nice to pay a $2 million kid and have one on your roster.
Yeah, I have to imagine you have a certain amount left. And that just seems
that's
stretching you pretty thin. And my guess is if you did that, again, I'd love to have Coleman Hawkins on the team.
Yeah.
Then you're not addressing, you know, another
these other holes or whatever you think.
He's the last one you're getting.
Yeah.
You know, and it'd have to be another guy that's barely making anything.
You're at the end of your funds.
I would think it'd be getting close if you go after him, whereas Brazil seems to be a little bit more of a guy, maybe a little bit better of a bargain. Also, though, I mean, and Hitman Hoops points it out, St. John's is on Brazil, too, and apparently has been for a while. So you're battling with St. John's on a couple of them, on Jameer Watkins, who he's involved with, and then on Brazil, too. He's got a visit going to St. John's. So you're battling St. John's on some of these. I would tell you, you know, it's a better situation in Memphis than St. John's.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
But again,
the
you
Brazil
are joining
thing,
the party
though,
late.
I think you need a winner, whoever it is, even if it's not Hawkins or Brazil. You need somebody who's freaking been in a culture of winning and, like, because you're already getting enough losers. I'm not saying the players are losers. A lot of these guys are coming from places they haven't won before. That's part of why they're leaving. You know what I mean?
Well, what I would say is that through Hitman Hoops reporting here, I think the way I would phrase it is we didn't need Penny Hardaway yesterday to speak publicly at the Tigers on tour stop. He wasn't there.
That's
Silver Fuel was out there. We didn't need him to do it or say what the plan was after David Jones. What I'm saying is I think we see what his plan is by who he's reached out to. Mm. The level of these wings that he's reached out to tells me he's trying to replace David Jones's production because he thought he was going to have something like that in the mix this year. Tells me that he's being interested in Brazil, tells me he wants to fortify that front
rebounding
court a little bit more.
Yeah.
You got four guys we can classify as bigs now.
Yeah.
But if you had planned to move Jordan over the wing more, then having a little bit more depth there in the front court makes some sense to me as well. I like the fact that he's going after a couple of different positions here with the three scholarships. But I'd be interested to see, the big word is fit, you know, and what you're telling, you know, Watkins, what you're telling these other guys in terms of the pecking order that you've got right now, which is unestablished, and where they're going to fit in it. Because we just went through this last year where, you know, figuring out on the fly, not always ideal.
Well, and if you got Brazil on the floor, you know, and you've got Danger and you've got Musa, and Musa's probably your starting five, I take it?
I don't know. I've been looking at that. You know, a lot of the folks that cut up to cover the Tigers the closest, you know, I haven't seen anybody go with what I like better, which is going big, and Danger and Musa Cisse. The issue is, if you've looked, and you would know this about Dane, I don't see him operating from what I've seen. I haven't seen him operating a lot out of the high post. And so while I'm sitting up here trying to make him a power forward and fit him into that four spot so Musa can give me a true rim protector at the five, if they can't go high-low, if he's not comfortable
at that 15. Well, they can play
15,
together, I think.
I don't know. If he's not comfortable at that 15-foot
mark. He's a banger,
mark,
though.
He does most of it under the basket.
Yes.
And so for, that's what I'm
Musa
saying.
In there, too.
Looking like a starting center. Now, he's slimmed down.
Yeah.
They've had him on a program or whatever else, and maybe that's the plan.
Maybe.
I like going big. Although Penny Hardaway, some of his best basketball has been played going smaller.
Yeah.
And so we'll see. But some most seem to think Dane's going to start at the five and Moose and those guys are behind him. I'd like to see some combination of I'm big at four and five. You know, go dominate this AAC. But we've seen now through, like we said, Hitman Hoops reporting, tip of the cap to him on who Memphis is on. I think we have an idea of what Penny Hardaway's plan is now in replacing David Jones, hopefully no more in the coming days as this unfolds. We're going to talk to Joe Theismann up next, Super Bowl 17 champion, former NFL MVP, College Football Hall of Famer this weekend, on Sunday, as a matter of fact. He's receiving the Distinguished Citizen Award from the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, joins a distinguished list of previous recipients, doing that on Sunday, got the Golf Classic on Monday, so we'll talk to Joe about the award, about the NFL. Maybe throw him a Bears question or two, but I won't waste y'all's time. We'll ask him about Jaden Daniels, obviously the situation with the Commanders, Drake May, and more when we return with Joe Theismann. You are listening to Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. Joe Theismann, Super Bowl 17 champion, former NFL MVP and College Football Hall of Famer. And on Sunday, about 5:30 p.m. here in Memphis, he'll receive the AutoZone Liberty Bowl's Distinguished Citizen Award. And Joe joins us now. Joe, again, congratulations, man.
Thank you so much. It's such a tremendous honor when you think of the people that have received the award before. Of course, my all-time hero, Elvis, was on that list. And I just, you know, now I feel like I'm in rarefied company, to be honest with you.
You absolutely.
Peyton and Lou Holtz and so many different people. So many wonderful people. You know, Memphians as well. I know Jerry Lawler was one. And I mean, you just look at the list of individuals that have been honored in this way, and it really humbles you.
Well, and you think about, you know, what this award represents, but also in terms of the Golf Classic, you know, tickets to this event, what they benefit. And it couldn't be for a worthier cause, right, Joe, in St. Jude's?
No, it couldn't. I just, you know, being a Memphian and knowing the work that's done at St. Jude's and, you know, the money we need to take care of everybody. I mean, you know, Danny Thomas's vision continues to go forward, and it's just it's amazing when you see the commercials and you know get a chance to visit the hospital. It gives you a tremendous sense of pride to be a Memphian.
No question. I know you're going to be smooth Sunday in accepting the award over at the Hilton Memphis. What about Monday in the Classic? How's the golf game looking, Joe? How you hitting it?
It's a work in progress. I think every time you ask me that, that's the answer. It's a work in progress. I'm into pretty good. You know, there's always something to work on. That's the great thing about the game of golf. You never can solve it. I mean, you might for nine holes, excuse me, you might get it for nine holes. Maybe you get it for 18. But then all of a sudden, all those things that you remembered, they go away. And then you start all over again from scratch.
Listen, I'm doing a rain dance for you, hoping that it holds off actually the other way on Monday out of TPC Southwind, so that you have a good day out there. We're talking, of course, to NFL MVP, Super Bowl 17 champion Joe Theismann, who again is set to receive the AutoZone Liberty Bowl's Distinguished Citizen Award on Sunday at the Memphis Hilton Hotel. All right, Joe, what you hearing about Jaden Daniels out of Commanders OTAs? It sounds all good right now.
It does, and I had a chance actually to visit and have lunch with him a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, I think Cliff Kingsbury's offense is going to be very intriguing and interesting. Jaden certainly fits the dynamic. He's a great kid. Talked to his coach down at LSU, Mike Denbrock, and just really liked him a lot. Liked his ability to want to learn. The whole thing for young guys is you have to feel like you want to be able to learn. You want to be able to get better. Some come in with the attitude that they're there already, and those are destined for failure, in my opinion. But someone like Jaden, who wants to come in, wants to learn, understands what it's like being under the spotlight. That's another thing is, you know, when you go in with a mentality of being a one, it's different than going in being in a mentality where, okay, I've got to compete for a job. You prepare differently in that regard. And now with such limited time we have in training camps, I mean, there's 17 days of training camps. If you look at the OTA, the off-season training schedules, and the mini camps, you just don't get a lot of time as any player. You know, Sam Hartman is here as well from Notre Dame, another quarterback. So you've got, you know, you have different quarterbacks that you want to get work with. You don't want to wear somebody's arm out, but yet you want to try and get them ready. I think it's a very difficult balance that coaches deal with to be able to get the starters the time they need, but to protect them, and get the backups time they need to be able to evaluate.
Yeah. I'm curious, Joe, because I'm thinking about you and Jaden and having dinner and sort of the wisdom that you can impart on a guy like that. What do you tell him or any quarterback in a situation like Jaden, like you said, where you're coming right in to start, about winning a locker room, about earning trust? I'm sure a lot of it's in what you just said about him in terms of you got to be willing to show that you can grow and that you're not coming in there as some finished product. But in terms of winning those men over, what's your best advice to a young quarterback? What'd you tell him?
Well, I didn't get a chance to talk to him. We actually, I lunched with the team, so I know, you know, coaches and a few other players as well. But, you know, if I did have a chance, and when I will get a chance, it's be a sponge. And I did say, learn as much as you can.
Yep.
And players will always evaluate you on your actions, not your words. I mean, you can rah-rah yourself silly, but it's not going to matter. What they're going to see is what happens on the field. They're going to see your ability to complete passes. They're going to see your command in the huddle. They're going to see you verbalizing the plays. They're going to see you changing plays at the line of scrimmage. They're going to see when something goes wrong, they're going to see how you react to it. It's one giant fishbowl at that position, more than anything, and than any sport, because every movement you make, every nod of the head, every slouch of the shoulders, every word out of your mouth, everything is scrutinized and analyzed so much, not just by the media, but by the people that you want to lead. And I've always, you know, I do a lot of speeches, and one of the things I stress to people in leadership is not about the leader, it's about the people you lead. So how do you set an example for them? What's your work ethic? How early do you get into study? How late do you stay to study? How aware are you of the information that the coaches are sharing with you? How quickly can you pick it up? Those are all things that you can't hide. You know, there's no way you can fake your way through this when you get to this level.
I'm curious, Joe. You look at a situation like Jaden's got, and he's got some weapons and experienced ones. But and then you look at a situation like what Caleb Williams has got with the Bears. They're both coming in, both expected to be the guy. But clearly, you know, whether it's DJ Moore or Keenan Allen coming over for a year, they drafted Rome Odunze. You know, DeAndre Swift's in the backfield. He can catch passes. It feels like in terms of weapons, and I don't know if I'll go as far as some of these, you know, talking heads have, that, oh, this is the greatest situation for a number one quarterback ever. But as far as weapons, it does feel like there's more there than what the Commanders have right now at this moment. How much of a difference can that be, Joe? Does it go back to what you said? It's really all about the guy himself, how much he throws himself into it, the studying, or can having a setup like that, I mean, I think about what Stephon Diggs did for Josh Allen early in his career, can having a setup like Caleb Williams have really put you at an advantage?
I think it's a little bit of an advantage in Chicago with Caleb's situation, only because there's not as much newness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the one that comes to my mind is Ben Roethlisberger. You know, when Ben came in as a rookie,
yeah. You
know, there was a football team in place. It's basically what the Steelers, I think the Steelers are trying to do right now. You look at the Steelers, and they feel like, I think, they have a chance to compete for a title. The missing link was the quarterback. So, you know, they tried the young guy, didn't work. So now we're on to veterans. And let's see what Russell Wilson can do and Justin Fields can do. Let's see how they can, you know, fit into that particular mold. We saw it happen with Jared Goff in Detroit. We saw it happen with Matthew Stafford going to the Rams. We saw it happen with Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay, Peyton Manning going to Denver. You know, if the team is there and that one element is the quarterback, it makes a difference. When you have young guys like Caleb and Jaden, what you do is what's around you. And Washington's going to have a bit more turnover, I think, than Chicago does on both sides of the ball. I mean, the way the numbers are looking and the way the predictions are is they'll start as many as 11 new guys in Washington.
Yeah.
From offensive linemen to linebackers to safeties. The wide receiver position is pretty set with all those guys. The running back position is pretty set. But everything else on that football team, kicker, I mean, everything is going to be sort of brand new. So there's a little more turnover, a little more newness in Washington than there is in Chicago.
What did you think, Joe, about, what do you think about the Atlanta quarterback situation? And I'm just curious if they, you know, Kirk Cousins is proven in this league, and you paid him like a man who's proven himself in this league. And instead of using that first round pick, we know, you know, on someone that could help him in the immediate, not that they didn't go do that later, but you go get Penix. I'm just thinking if Joe, if you're in those shoes and they've gone out and used that first rounder on a quarterback, how are you feeling? I know he's going to be a pro's pro, but how are you feeling about it, Joe, if you're Kirk Cousins?
It doesn't matter. I mean, obviously, you know, everybody in the world thought they'd go defense.
Right.
And they went with Michael. You know, Kirk obviously is coming off of an Achilles. He's not a young quarterback.
That's true.
Maybe they looked at the draft for next year, and they feel like, well, we're not going to get a shot at a quarterback next year.
That's fair.
Of this quality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody sort of focuses on 2024's draft. But what does 25 and 26 look like if you've got a quarterback like Kirk and you're going to the future? I mean, the best scenario you can hope for is the situation they had in Green Bay, where Jordan Love sat for a while,
yep,
learned the game. You know, right now, Michael's not costing them any money. I mean, if you put the two quarterbacks together, you know, if Kirk's at $45 million, the total expenses on one and two are $47.5 million, maybe. You know, so economically, you're in good shape. It's a great opportunity for Michael to be able to learn, and I still believe that, you know, playing helps, but being able to observe isn't a bad thing either. When you get out there and play, you get a chance to look at yourself on film. You know why you made decisions, throwing the ball where you did, both good and bad, and coaches can teach that way. When the other guy is doing it, you just have to suppose that possibly this is the situation that you have to consider.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, playing, I think in Jaden's case, in Caleb's place, they're probably going to, the learning curve will probably move a little quicker than maybe for Michael, but he's a talented athlete. You know, I think it's going to be interesting to see when it comes to footwork, how quickly he gets the ball out of his hands. The ball, he's a lefty, so the ball's going in the other direction,
yeah,
for guys catching the ball. That's just, it doesn't seem like much, but the rotation is different. The ball falls differently on fades. It doesn't turn over directly. It goes left or right a little bit. And so those are all things, and Kurt will be he's the perfect guy to have for Michael. You know, I mean, if you're looking at the organization of the Atlanta Falcons, you want Kirk Cousins to be the guy to mentor. Now, a lot of guys don't want a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
They get selfish at the position and say, hey, it ain't my job, it's coach's job. Kirk's not that kind of guy. He'll do everything he can to help this football team win. And being the quarterback will be the biggest thing. But economically, it worked out well for him. But guys, ever since Washington let him go, he's only made about $300 million.
Oh, my. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable,
I mean, you know,
what he's made.
I keep wondering. I'm trying to remember who the general manager was that Kirk ought to send a bouquet of flowers to every year. You know, either a big thank you note, a dinner, you know, whatever, a cater, a dinner. Because if it wasn't for you thinking that I couldn't play, I wouldn't be in the situation I'm in today, which is a very good one.
Yeah.
And he was really, last year he was off to one of his, the
he really was.
He had.
Yep, he was.
And unfortunately that happened.
Yeah. I just wonder if there's going to come a day when, you know, McCarthy's throwing some bad balls to Justin Jefferson, and Justin Jefferson's wishing for those days again where he had Kirk Cousins. I mean, a lot of, you know, this contract that Justin's about to get or whatever that he just, you know, is because of the way that Kirk Cousins was getting him that ball. There's no question.
It's all economics.
Yeah,
it's all economics now. Really, I mean, it's, you know, your quarterbacks are, you know, 40 and 50 million. This is what Jerry's struggling with in Dallas.
Right.
Is Dak Prescott a $50 million quarterback? I think Jerry's answered that question.
I think he has.
By not signing him. So, but it is the quarterback, there are 32 positions at that. There's 32 jobs, okay? Are there 32 guys that are worth that amount of money? But here's the problem. If you don't have the guy that's there now, where do you go?
Right. Right.
Look at the free agent. There's nobody in the free agent market. You know, Russell's continuing to get older. Kirk's getting older. You know, I look at this year with three different things. Number one, Aaron Rodgers come back in New York.
Yep.
You know, is he going to be the savior that everybody thinks he's going to be? Well, that position happens to be the most dependent position on the field. So let's see if he gets beat up. Let's see what they do in the offensive line. What's going to, obviously, Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh is another one. And then Tom Brady in the booth. You know, he's making as much in the booth as he's making more in the booth than he did as playing that position.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's.
What's the new kickoff rule going to look like?
Yep.
I'm excited about that. That's the thing I'm most excited about, is the change in the kickoff rule. That part of the game is going to be brought back. That element's going to be brought back, I think, in a big way. You know, that's why, who was it? I think, did the Steelers sign Cordell Patterson,
yes.
I believe?
Yes.
Just specifically to return kicks. Mm-hmm. I mean, he does a lot of things well, but he's been a very, very dynamic kick returner.
No, I mean, as a Bears fan, you think about the game changer that Hester was, on special teams. And yet, to your point, getting that play back into football, because it just felt like we'd lost it. And, you know, it's not just the excitement of it for fans. It can give you a boost. I mean, Hester returned one to start the Super Bowl. And although Rex Grossman and the boys couldn't hold it down, I mean, it's a difference maker that hopefully, yeah, is back in the game to stay. I hope that adjustment really makes a difference there. If I had to pin you down here, Joe, before I let you get out of here, you know, what are we talking about? It's May 31st, but if I had to pin you down on a couple of Super Bowl choices, would you go back with a rematch of Chiefs San Francisco? You got something else on your brain?
That's there. It's floating around in my head somewhere. Lots of things float around in my head. I think Philadelphia helped themselves.
No doubt.
Jalen stays healthy there. I think Philadelphia became a better football team. I don't know if Buffalo got nicked enough with the changes that happened to take them out of there. You got to believe that Kansas City will add elements and continue to. I think with Travis coming back, it makes a difference in that offense. We saw the what. First half and second half of the Super Bowl,
yep.
When he was involved and when he wasn't involved. But, you know, Kansas City still, you're going to go through there. Like, say, Pittsburgh wants to make a run. Can Miami, you know, stay healthy enough to be able to compete? You know, this time of year, everybody's healthy, so everybody goes, ooh, look at this team. But what happens when you get people get beat up? 2 years ago, Brock got hurt. So you wind up, you know, San Francisco's got a real shot at winning a Super Bowl. All of a sudden, Brock Purdy's down. Your quarterback is gone.
Yep.
You're playing quarterback in a championship game to go to the Super Bowl with a running back as your quarterback. So, but I would right now look at Philadelphia possibly as the team that might make the move. I think Atlanta's going to win the division, in their division. I think, you know, that looks good. Washington, you never know. I mean, they played Philly tough, and Philly's been a good team. Obviously, the Giants, you're never sure about. And Dallas, to me, you know, they've hit the peak, I think, a year or so ago, and now it looks like they're starting to go the other direction because they're starting to lose people.
Yep.
And you're going to have to pay Micah.
Right.
And you're going to have to pay CD. And so what do you do with Dak? And that's Jerry's dilemma.
It's a great question. I think to your point, he may have already answered it and not, you know, doing the extension now. You mentioned Philly. I said that was last thing, but since you brought up Philly, I just got to ask you. You would know, losing a Jason Kelce, obviously there are skilled centers that can come into the position, but when you lose a control center, like, you know, a guy that was one of the control centers of your offense, how tough can that be in terms of replacing a guy as good as a Jason Kelce?
I think it's the most unsung position in football.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody gives the centers as much credit as they deserve. Obviously, you get a young guy in there. He won't have the experience, but he probably will have played the position enough to know what he needs to do, and then just work his way in there. And then,
yep.
You know, you remember you've got help with the guards. You know, you've got the guards there to assist as well.
Right.
So it's a one person position, but it's really supported by two on the other, or one on each side. But yeah, certainly a guy that great as a player is going to be a change for him. But then again, youth sometimes can make up for it.
No doubt. Joe, you're the best, man. Congratulations again on the award. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Be all about you on Sunday, as it should be, brother. Congrats, and thanks again for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Good catching up. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. He is Joe Theismann. You know him. You love him. Memphian. In your area, Walgreens, apparently.
Yeah, so yesterday I went to get a prescription at the Germantown Walgreens on Poplar.
Yes.
And... you know, when you have celebrities you see in public, you have a choice to make. And that choice is you either go up to them because they don't know who you are.
Right.
He knows me as the producer on the Jason
knows
and John
your voice,
show.
Probably.
Hi, it's Brad. And I could have said, hey, Joe, I produce Jason and John's show every weekday. You come on all the time. And he would have been fine. But there was that moment in my brain where it's like, there's a line of people.
I know what you're saying. I know where you're going.
He is in public.
Right.
And it happened to me with Jaren Jackson one time. Went to my wife, I brought her for our anniversary a couple of years ago, and we were at that restaurant that's in Shelby Farms that overlooks the water there. Beautiful restaurant. Mm-hmm. And Jaren Jackson sat at the table right next to us. And what do? You don't talk. I make the choice to usually not bother celebrities in public almost universally.
Because you figure they're getting enough of that already.
They're getting pelted all the time.
Usually that's where the way I lean.
It's a business decision.
Now, if I got my kid with me and he's going, Dad, there's Jaren. You know, that's what.
Yeah.
That can change sort of how I feel about my willingness to go up and bother, quote, that person. But
and my kid wasn't with me. With Jaren, my kid wasn't with me.
I think I'd have done the same thing.
What's
probably
wild is how people act, though, Jason, because we're sitting there at the table. I mean, we are right. His back is next to me. Jaren is right behind me. And there's a woman that comes across the restaurant. And you know what she does? She pulls out her. This is how people act. And I don't know if I agree with it. Pulls out her phone and starts filming Jaren at his table. Jaren and goes beelines directly at him while she's filming him. And I'm like, man, I bet he gets that all the time.
Did you see what happened with Jason Kelce and his wife recently? They were
the
out
thing
for dinner.
It was down in New Jersey where I used to live.
Picture, and then when she didn't get a picture,
we're on
with
a date.
She went absolutely nuts. She went absolutely nuts on the family. Told him you can't do anything. But to your point, wanted a picture when she didn't get it from him.
And then she went bananas.
Exactly. Just expected to get that picture and then went bananas on him saying, oh, you're this, and you'll never come back in this town. It's unbelievable.
I've actually met his wife, Robin, at the airport, and I've spoken to her and talked about our relationship with Joe through the radio station. Yeah. I could have come up, but, you know.
Well, next time when you've got an interview with him scheduled the next day, that can be your way.
That probably would have been
I'm with you on my approach to life. Usually, I let the celebrities be the celebrities. They're already getting bothered enough.
Yes.
I'm not going to add to their day in terms of that. That was Joe Theismann.
I bet you get that all the time, too.
No, I don't get it at all, brother.
Come on, man.
Not at all. Local yokel, that's what I am. That was Joe Theismann. Appreciate his time. Again, he'll be receiving the AutoZone Liberty Bowl's Distinguished Citizen Award on Sunday at Hilton Memphis Hotel. Still looks like there's some tickets available at libertybowl.org. You can get those tickets, of course, with all proceeds going to St. Children's Research Hospital, St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. We'll be back to wrap it all up, and then hand you off to Giannotto and Jeffrey.
Oh, boy.
At least as a tandem for the last time. I certainly hope we'll still be hearing from Giannotto. Certainly a loss for the CA and a loss for 92.9 FM ESPN. Jeffrey going to be just fine, though. He is an absolute soldier, and I've told him that. He knows how I feel about him. But, yeah, we'll get you ready for the final Giannotto and Jeffrey show. You're listening to Jason John, 92.9 FM ESPN.